On the Bechdelcast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdelcast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdelcast. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Jamie.
And we're here to talk about movies, specifically...
About what?
Women.
Oh, and yeah.
The portrayal of women.
The portrayal of women. What are they like? What do they look like? Do they get... Oh, here's the test. Are there two women in the movie who are speaking to each other about something other than a man? Do they have names? We want to know. Ideally, they do.
Ideally, yes. And that, my friends, is the Bechdel test.
Created by...
Allison Bechdel.
Mr. Joey Bechdel.
Bobby Bechdel the second.
Mr. Bobby Bechdel.
Yeah, so that's what this podcast is about. And we're going to talk about a movie as we do every single time.
We are so excited for this episode.
Yeah, we are.
I am so excited.
I'm pretty
for this
excited.
Episode.
Let's just jump right in and introduce our guest.
She's the best. She's so funny. She is a best-selling author and she co-runs Devastator Press out of Los Angeles. It's Amanda Meadows.
Oh my God, that was a great intro.
Thank you.
I gave you no information about me.
But like, I know you. I've been to your home.
You know what? That's right.
You have a lovely home, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Amanda, fun fact about Amanda. She's got a Charlie Brown poster in her bathroom.
Yes. It's from the movie everyone forgets about.
I had never heard of it. I had to look it up after peeing
at
your house.
Charlie Brown, they go to France. They stay in the countryside. There's grape stuff. A house is on fire.
Whose idea was
They're
that?
They're on a plane. It's great.
Is the French tourism board responsible for that?
Absolutely.
Movie? Let's bring beloved American characters, you know, just to France, just to like make it appealing to the younger set. My dad has a weird amount of spite for France.
Oh, really?
He calls everything that he thinks rich people do French. One time he called me and he was like, "Where are you?" And I was like, "I'm in a Starbucks." And he was like, "What are you, French?"
Wait, was he one of those people who, like instead of calling them French fries, he'd call them freedom fries?
No, I think he just, like, decided that French was a synonym for bougie, which makes sense.
I mean,
if you view French people as, like, bread-carrying cartoon characters.
Right, right.
I had an idea for a sketch that I wanted to perform once where it would just be, like, a quick blackout sketch, but it would be Jack from Titanic. And
I'm hooked.
Rose or some woman, and the woman would say, "Jack, I want you to draw me like one of your French girls." And she takes off her robe, and it's just like her with like a beret and like a striped shirt with like a little red handkerchief, and then like smoking a cigarette and holding a baguette.
Ooh, great!
I love it.
I'm in.
Gimme.
Can it also be the Kathy Bates character?
Ooh, yeah, Molly. Gimme Molly.
The unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah. She is like. So very unsinkable. Hey, what movie are we talking about today? I don't know why I said that in that way.
Unsinkable.
We're talking about...
Well, oh, this is going to be a fun
one.
Can
we just talk about Titanic again? No, we're not. We're talking... Oh, man. Oh, if
I know that that's what we always want to do.
Hey, this is the same era, though.
True, same year.
Yeah.
97. Because the movie we're talking about is Spice World.
That's a Yas Queen.
Yeah.
This is kind of a Yas Queen kind of movie.
Oh, it super is.
Excuse my shouting. I have a Mike's Hard Lemonade this episode.
It's a Mike's Harder Lemonade. It has a lightning bolt over the ER.
It's wild.
It's serious.
If you want to get crazy, you're going to want to fuck with this lemonade.
Does that mean it's like a higher alcohol content than a regular Mike's Hard?
Yeah, it's 8%. It's actually kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Whoa. It says warning next to it, too. It says warning contains alcohol.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
Just in case.
I'm not ready.
Well, because it looks like a can of like juice, which is essentially what it is, just like riddled with alcohol also.
It's sex
when you smell it, it smells like the Love Spell body spray from Victoria's Secret.
Oh, I remember that.
It's like candy, sticky sweet.
Yeah, it's like, it's. I wouldn't say it's good, but I would say that I have it a lot.
It's extremely drinkable.
That it is peak drinkable, consumable. Love it.
Yeah,
love
hitting
it.
All the bliss points.
Give
That's
me my
some
bliss.
Snack food lingo.
Really?
Yeah, it's some inside snack food business lingo. In case you didn't.
Do you know someone in the biz?
No, I just read an excerpt from that book about bliss points, about like how like Frito-Lay like designs. Tastes to be like peak salt, peak sugar.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
I bet the Mike's Harder people develop their product using sheer intuition. They're like, we know. Like, but how does it feel?
I bet they know.
How does a Mike's Hard Lemonade feel?
They ask a bunch of 12-year-olds.
Yeah. Have this, kids. How does it feel? I want to be a part of a Mike's Hard focus group.
Oh, my God.
What would it be like? There's a bad sketch that I could write.
Yeah.
Mike's Hard focus group. It's a little bit harder than your regular focus group.
I'd buy it.
This is hitting
me sketches?
Real fast.
I'll pay you a bunch of money for this sketch.
You want to buy my sketch?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's go back in time. Let's pitch it to Funny or Die in 2009.
Yeah.
We got this.
I'd be like, give me a B-celeb, any B-celeb, be in my sketch that is bad. Whoa, sick roast, Jamie.
So we're talking about Spice World, and...
Oh, yeah, we haven't said that.
Well, yeah, we did, but then we immediately got off topic. Really...
I prepared for such an eventuality. I brought us all physical totems to remind us that we are talking about Spice
like
World.
Inception.
Yeah. So I actually, really, no lie, bought these two and a half years ago at a 99 cent store. I have these 3-inch mini figurines of 4 of the Spice Girls. Let's see. We've got Baby here. We got Sporty. We've got your Posh. She's in some kind of bikini. Doesn't look that posh. And Scary Spice, who's in some kind of cow themed getup.
She loves those animal prints.
Yeah, she loves her animal prints. That's what makes her scary. Not that she's black.
Yeah, how do we feel about
her hair curly?
One...
I mean, are we addressing what's problematic in this movie or what's problematic about the Spice Girls as an entity?
I think as an entity. Because, like, the movie is actually not that offensive.
It's just kind of bad.
Yeah.
So tell us about, like, when did you first see this? What's your history with this movie?
Let's see. So I immediately loved the Spice Girls. I was the right age. I think I was, like, in fifth grade when Wannabe came out. And, yeah, it was just, like, me and the girls at school just figuring out which Spice Girl we're going to be. It was pretty obvious for me. But I got to sit and watch everyone else argue about whether they were Baby or Posh, so that was fun. And I loved the first album. I never got to see them live, but I did see Spice World in theaters, and I hadn't seen it since. Last night and today I watched a bunch of clips in random order,
which is kind of like watching the movie. Yeah, anyway, right.
Yeah, I think it was probably closer to real order than I think. Yeah, it's just a crazy madcap, like, Monkees style adventure. And you know, it did seem kind of feminist when I was a kid. Now it's like, it almost feels like it was before its time because it was, like, kind of ironically feminist.
I feel like they weren't trying, but it somehow ended up still.
It was like weird corporate feminism.
Oh, it's a very, like, neoliberal, capitalist. Yeah.
Girl power.
Right.
They like say Wonder Bra like 18 times.
Yeah.
They were getting money from
much Wonder Bra.
They were like, girl power, because this is something we can put on a iridescent sticker that little girls will buy.
I had so many shirts that said girl power when I was little, and they were all pink.
Like I there was the little like crop top with the shoulder, like the cap sleeve that said boys lie. And it was like an iridescent print. Like, there was this girl who wore it like every other day at school. Ooh, I was like, she's like a Spice Girl.
Let's swap like graphic tee stories.
Yeah.
I had my fifth grade school picture. I have braces and I used to love getting cornrows, which is like weird. And I used to love getting cornrows. I was, whatever.
Did you do the butterfly clips?
I did the butterfly clips, and in this particular...
I think that, like, is a specific genre of cornrow that I'm okay with.
Right. I mean, it still looked a little bit off, but...
Massachusetts.
I was wearing it was a very poor neighborhood in Massachusetts. We all had cornrows. It was a different time. Anyways, I'm wearing a t-shirt that says, too young for Ashton.
Oh, I remember those shirts.
Yeah. You can get them at Macy's. And my aunt got it for me. I didn't need to...
Too young for Ashton is an like Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because he was on that 70s show.
He was on first name basis, like, fame in the early aughts. Like, Doer's My Car,
Ashton.
70s show. Yeah, I remember that. I was a little too old for him at that point.
But. And it said too young for Ashton.
Yeah. As if to say, listen, Ashton.
But I recognize I'm too young.
Yeah, it was actually a very progressive shirt. Or a warning to Ashton. Should he be
stay away, Ashton.
Out in the wild?
Try to
He's like,
me.
Hey, what a cute little. Oh no. She's too young.
Hey, baby, I like those knee socks.
Yeah.
Read my shirt. I'm too young for you.
I'm too young for you, but I think you're very handsome.
Oh my God. Should I do the recap of the story?
I don't know.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, how do you even recap a movie without a plot? I don't know.
It is hard to say.
Yeah, it's a series of skits.
Essentially.
I'm winded.
Not even sketches, skits.
Yeah. It's not sophisticated enough to have a sketch in it.
We cannot apply the term sketch. It is skit.
Yeah.
Skit all the way.
Decidedly a skit movie.
The story focuses on the Spice Girls. They all play themselves. They're already, like, famous in the movie. They have, like, I guess a manager named Clifford. I'm not entirely sure what his job is. And then he has, like, another person who helps named Deborah. They're kind of, like, keeping the girls on track because they're about to do a live show in a few
days
or some amount of time.
Minutes? Might be.
But the concept of time is very confusing in this movie.
Meanwhile, there is this guy who runs a tabloid magazine, and he's like, I hate these Spice Girls. People like them too much. I want different headlines. So he hires this, like...
He's so sweaty in every scene.
Oh,
he's like,
gross.
I made them. I can destroy them. And he's just covered in flop sweat. I was like, what is he so stressed? It's like almost like a J. Jonah Jameson, like, all I think about is Spider-Man. Where he's like, all I think about is the Spice Girls.
He's like a strung out J. Jonah Jameson.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like with way lower stakes.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, he hires a guy, like a photographer, to like kind of go undercover and like try to dig up some dirt on the Spice Girls so that he can start running different headlines.
He got the
tabloid.
He got the foggy toe sucking picture.
Meanwhile, there are these two other like Hollywood guys who want to make a movie about the Spice Girls. So they like keep pitching stories to Clifford.
They're American. Ew.
So those are like some of the subplots. I guess the main plot is just the Spice Girls preparing for this concert. Like they go to dance camp or something.
Yeah.
And like they got a boot camp.
And they have a friend named Nicola.
They have
a
pregnant friend.
And they're like trying to support her in her pregnancy. And it's just about them having a friendship and being in a girl band together.
It's such a confusing movie. It's like every part of it. I'm like, do they hate mothers? Do they like mothers?
Right. Because
they're like, we're so happy for you or whatever. And then,
right.
And then they're like, if we were mothers, we'd be fat and boring. And then you see that long, admittedly great skit about babies. Like, how many babies do I have again?
Right. This movie is, there's like all these like dream sequence / weird flash forward type things sprinkled throughout.
And then at the end it's revealed, it's been a movie the whole time.
Yep. Right.
This movie is so meta.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a thinker.
It's a real thinker.
There's like this, it's a mad world feeling where there's like all of these different camps of people going after the Spice Girls, but they don't give you enough time to understand what their like angles are necessarily.
Right.
There's also the two screenwriters who are like trying to like pitch a movie.
Right.
And then there's like Alan Cummings in it,
which
I forgot about.
Oh my God.
And
how
like,
can I forget about Alan Cummings? Yeah, he's trying to make a documentary about them. First of all, let me say,
why are there so many antagonists in this movie?
But like none of them are even like all that bad. They're just like comically
things end
absurd.
Fine. Things end fine.
Yeah, they do the concert. Everyone loves them. First of all, let me say, 100%, I would totally have sex with Alan Cummings.
Oh my God,
he's such a
babe. That's a hard no for me.
I'm not surprised.
We do not have the same taste in men.
That's like the best part of like a solid friendship is like there's never going to be a clash. I'm gonna take Alfred Molina every time. You're gonna take Alan Cumming every time, we'll all go home happy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Low key, I'll still take Alfred Molina and Paul Giamatti. But like Alan Cumming is like my high end like queer. He knows a lot. I can learn a few things. Kind of love affair.
I don't like to be taught. I'm like, I'm going to show you how it's done. I'm Blanche Devereaux.
Oh, gee whiz.
That's our Jamie.
I'm a real Blanche. I wish I was a real Blanche. I'm more of a Dorothy, I think.
Yeah, me too.
But I want to be a Sophia. She's so funny.
I'm not familiar enough with the show, so I'm just going to call myself. I'm like really a Raphael from the Ninja Turtles.
You're a crude dude with an attitude.
Right.
There's actually a Spice Girls Ninja Turtles connection. I read because I vaguely remembered that Roger Ebert particularly really, really, really hated this movie. And like wrote a really fun bad review of it.
Oh, please.
Where
share.
He says the Spice Girls are, and I'm paraphrasing, but like they're as easy to distinguish as the Ninja Turtles, but it doesn't matter because none of them have any personality. Like they look very different, but they're all the same person. I was like, interesting parallel. What a thinker.
Would disagree.
I would too, but him. I just thought it was interesting that he felt so like really revisited this movie a number of times in specials, in books. Like he, for someone who disliked this movie, he really put some hours into really thinking about it.
Oh yeah, because it's a really interesting failure. Like there's a lot to dissect.
It's like a time capsule. Yeah. Like at what other point in time would this be allowed?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Just 1997.
Pretty much. I remember
this
movie,
exact day.
Yeah. Like, this movie was super popular when it came out, but it like not that it hasn't aged well because I just watched it and I enjoyed it. Not because it's a good movie. Mm-hmm. Mostly it's just it has great jokes. This is a very funny movie. I totally forgot. I
was there are a lot of funny moments.
Yeah. I was telling Jamie before we started recording that like I probably saw this movie for the first time. It might have been around when it came out. If not, maybe a few years later. But I was still, you know, young, you know, early teenager kind of thing. And I totally dismissed it as a movie that, like, I probably only half paid attention to it. I was like, oh, I don't really care about the Spice Girls. I was more into Backstreet Boys.
BSB. Yeah. Like, who's your fave?
Brian.
Me too. He had a heart condition.
Which one is Brian again?
He did.
He was the hot one.
No, Nick Carter was the hot one.
No.
But Brian was the one who brought a certain something to the table.
Brian had a really nice jaw line, and that was what I liked about him.
He was Kevin's cousin. Kevin was the old one that moms
Brian
liked.
Brian was the more square-faced dude with, like, the ash brown hair,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was, like, always just, like, a regular dude
he
with spiky hair.
He was a little shorter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
I remember
my
now.
Mom had a big crush on Kevin, even the time that he wore the kilt. I know, Kevin was gross.
Oh, kilt.
Gross. And then Howie was the worst of all. He sang that song, yeah. Spanish Eyes. And
oh,
I was like,
Howie's super gross. But AJ. With the vanity came.
God, and he was troubled. He went to rehab.
Oh, no.
But he was, like, open about it. Like,
I saw.
He was trying to grow.
I've told Caitlin this story before, pretty sure. But I saw my first and last Backstreet Boys concert the night before 9/11.
Oh my God.
All right. And your mom,
September 10th, 2001.
Part
it was
of
a
it
simpler time
because she wanted to see, who was it?
Cisco opened.
Wow.
And she, I missed part of the concert because she wanted to get in line and meet Cisco.
Oh man,
because she thought he was a babe. And then Nick
Carter. Amazing.
And then I had a sign that was like, I love you, Brian. Anyway,
I saw this
poor
movie
AJ.
And not long after it came out, and then I like dismissed it as something else. Like, why would I want to watch this? This is a dumb girl movie. I want to watch Indiana Jones instead. And like,
yeah, I went through cool girl syndrome too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still there. But then
it's for babies.
But I rewatched it for this episode, and then I was like, holy crap. It was kind of like how I experienced Clueless. Like the first time I was like, it's just dumb Beverly Hills Girls. And then I forgot that it was like riddled with jokes. There's so much comedy in it, in Clueless and in Spice World.
I saw this movie a little bit. I probably saw it like more early 2000 because I was too young for it when it came out. And so I became more acquainted with the Spice Girls kind of after they had already sort of gone away. I came in around S Club 7.
Oh,
that's
wow.
More my sweet spot is S Club. There ain't no party like an S Club party. That's about where I was at. But I have seen this movie a ton of times. And for some reason, I remember being so scandalized by it at the time and thinking like, oh my, like, I shouldn't be watching this. Like, their skirts are so short and they say bra. Like,
so cheeky.
But I loved this movie and I still, and now, like, watch, I hadn't seen it in at least 10 years. And mm-hmm. It's so much, it's even more fun to watch now. It's so good.
Yeah, it is a fun movie to watch. Again, I mean, if you're like a budding screenwriter, don't take any hints or cues from it on how to write a screenplay because
yeah, no.
It doesn't do a good job with that in terms of like story structure. But as far as just like lovable characters and funny jokes, it's an enjoyable movie to watch.
And kind of a British tradition too of like there were the Beatles movies and...
In the
60s, and then were the monkeys?
They were like making fun of the Beatles. So
right,
like,
right, right.
Yeah, and then like there's that like kind of Benny Hill quality too. There's just like this whole like tradition of like British camp.
Yeah, it doesn't take it so serious. Like literally, one of my favorite parts about the movie is the tagline, which is. They don't just sing. That's like the tagline.
A lot of bad taglines
for the movie. Yeah,
there's another one that's like, "So you want a revolution? Do you?"
it's like how does that?
What's the revolution? No.
What happens?
Right. A bus blows up at the end.
I wonder.
Is that what you mean?
I wonder. Like, I do wonder. Like, would this movie be incredibly not just confusing, but like not fun to watch for someone who had not. Even been sort of alive in 1997. Like, I count myself as sort of being alive in 1997 in that I existed, but I didn't know what things were.
Right. I feel like this is a good window, like, timing-wise, like, there's a really good Double Dutch opening for, like, 1997 nostalgia. So, like, mm-hmm. If you just go down a Tumblr hole long enough, you'll, like,
yes. You'll
piece it together from the banana clips to the glitter and then the platform shoes. And then you'll eventually make it to the Spice Girls.
You'll get there.
And then you'll figure out what was going on. And then you'll watch Spice World and you'll, like, really appreciate it. But it won't be the same.
Right. Yeah. Because it is like peak, very specific time and place.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it's so great. I don't know. That's why it's fun.
90s yes. kids will remember.
Yeah. I mean, I was 11 when the movie came out. I was like, it's the peak demographic for the Spice Girls
perfect.
And this movie.
Yep.
Even so, I was like too busy. I'm like, Back to the Future is my favorite movie. It still is.
I was going to say, that was you also yesterday.
Right. Still a great movie.
I have not grown much as a person. But
I have a series of unfortunate events tattoo, and I love it. So
no regrets.
No need to grow.
As far as the characters, we already kind of went through them, but we've got Baby and Sporty and Ginger and Posh and Scary Spice. I was going to ask, how do we feel about the one Spice Girl of color being named Scary?
I mean, we don't feel good about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's very on the nose. It's like, because wasn't it a tabloid that named them, those names? It wasn't an official thing. It was like they came out and then, like, I think maybe it was the Daily Mail or some shit that was, like, reviewing them and called them, like, blank spice, blank spice. So, yeah, like, that was, like, the media's immediate take on the format of the Spice Girls. And so it was just like... She's scary. She's just scary. And that stuck. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So they're basically upsetting. Like, oh, this one has red hair, so she's Ginger.
Right.
This one
acts like a baby.
So she's baby. Baby.
Which is like, that's true.
Yeah, it's like some of them it's pretty easy to pinpoint.
There's not a scene in this movie where Baby Spice is not actively licking a lollipop through any bit of dialogue
it's
she has.
It's real gross
it's
at times.
Disgusting.
And like even her gift, like they all kind of borrow things. Like the Baby Spice is just so obviously like a Harajuku girl. Like it's, yeah. She steals so much from Japanese culture.
She literally,
to be cute.
In that scene where they're like, you know, you're going to say hello to the whole world. And she immediately is like, I'm going to take Japan. Like,
right.
She is, says,
yeah,
like,
they're very honest about
and
it.
Just like, oh, come on, baby.
I like how they are asked, oh, how many countries is it going to reach? And they're like, millions, maybe more.
Yeah. And then aliens come back.
Oh, my God. The alien scene.
The alien right. scene's crazy.
The alien scene
Let's
is
start
crazy.
With that. Because that's a pretty good representation of what this movie is.
The yeah. summary of this movie is the Spice Girls are very famous.
That's so famous.
Literally all that happens.
That the
in this
same
movie.
Ship from Independence Day comes down with like millions of lights. But like wait, like Mars Attack style aliens
right,
come
very
out.
Very campy.
Oh my
they're
god.
Very wet aliens. Mwah. They're wet.
They
they're,
one of them
they're covered in goop.
Yeah, their hands are just knuckles. Yeah, it's like a three knuckle cluster.
One of them, knuckle cluster is
knuckle
the
cluster.
Worst thing I've
it's
ever
an outrageous bar of a hand.
One of them grabs Scary Spice's breast and sexually assaults her.
Yeah, and right. then the other alien's like, I told you to shake her hand. Yeah. He was like, I thought that was her hand. Like, oh boy.
I love
that. Could have done a little
like,
bit more research.
Can you only punch if your hand is only knuckles?
Right.
You may have gently punched her.
Yeah. And then, like, later they ask Ginger for a kiss. So it's like, okay, well, if you know what a kiss is, then you should know what a hand is. So you just wanted to legit go for Mel B's
boob.
Yeah,
they just
groped her.
Yeah, that was an
excuse. Her a bit.
Yeah.
Groped her. I love that the Spice Girls can speak the language that they're speaking.
Yes.
Or at least understand it.
Yeah, and there's like, oh, does that have 3 Ks? I think it's
right.
40 Spice sets. It's perfect.
It's full Ks.
The Spice Girls are totally, they just conform to whatever is needed for the skit they are appearing in.
Yes.
Which is like, oh, there's aliens. Well, they speak alien. And like,
they're so willing to like absorb anything into Spice Canon.
Which
it's
is
just like so great.
And that's like kind of the core idea of a pop group too. Is like
right.
you know like
it's a shape shifting parasite.
Like
creature.
You like this? We're this. Like
right.
I mean, I guess as close to like a modern day equivalent would be like Katy Perry of like.
Yeah,
what is,
she's whatever.
Katy Perry doesn't have a personality. She's doing whatever the fuck you're supposed to be doing.
She's
at,
a human
on a day.
Green screen.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, we like aliens right now. E.T., let's do it. We're
I'll fucking alien.
The 80s
and
are back.
I'll wear green lipstick while I do it.
Right, like the 80s are back. We're doing TGIF. Like she
yep.
does not. She's like, you want me to shoot cream out of my titties? I'll do it. What do you want? And that's how girl groups and guy groups to an extent. Worked.
Yeah, it's true.
And still work. They're just avatars and we're just projecting ourselves onto them. I'm kidding.
That's really deep.
Thank you so much. I'm doing a real deep dive on Spice.
Well, let me just continue on with that because I have a few scenes I want to discuss.
Oh, please. Yes.
The scene when they're in Milan and the backup dancers come in.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh, what's this? Because they're like, these chiseled, muscly guys with like only like shiny underwear on or like tighty whities or something.
Objectification.
Right.
But like, it's fine.
We'll allow it. And everyone's like, we don't want them. This is not what we wanted. And then you see a few of the girls talking to like a different one of these guys. And these scenes are so funny because Scary like looks at the one guy, they're like talking about their junk, and they're like, well, do you think this is real? And she's like, no, I think it's just a rolled up pair of socks. And she's like making fun of his muscles. And then Baby is talking to a different one, and she's explaining to him why there's not enough room in her bed for him because of all her stuffed animals and dolls.
Oh my god. Great.
And then Sporty, I think, is talking to a different one, and I think they're talking about Milan's soccer team and how they suck.
Great.
Which is
very
all fitting.
British. Right. Of like, who gives a fuck? Like,
it could have been like these girls like ogling over these hot men, and they were just like, ooh, you guys are dumb. Get out of here. We don't want you here.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is kind of what
that.
This movie's all about. It's like there's no love interest. It's just them, a celebration of their friendship. And they're like, girl power.
Well, okay. Usually I'm the one to be like in defense of the movie. But there are so many male antagonists. And they're all ineffectual, like, limp-dicked idiots.
True.
And that's very clearly portrayed. But also the Spice Girls are portrayed as almost everyone in this movie is made out to be, like,
a complete
pretty
idiot.
Stupid.
Yeah. Right.
Which is an interesting choice creatively.
Yeah, just, it's like, a stupid world where everyone's
in
stupid.
In Spice World, everyone's fucking dumb. But still, their lives are almost completely dictated by the decision, or like there are men trying to actively manipulate them. All
right.
45 of the villains in this movie are stalking them and like throwing obstacles in their way.
Right. Making demands of them. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, this is not satire, but you know, you could see where people would be like, hey, maybe there was one person who did a draft of this movie that very likely went through 4,000 drafts.
Absolutely.
And like
this is a Franken script for sure.
A sixth of the world contributed to this script.
Anyway. It was based on an idea by the Spice Girls, though.
No. So. What if we went on tour? And we're very famous. And they're like, we've got it, girls. Just give us, like, 6 years. But there's just, like, there's all these men trying to manipulate them. And arguably, it kind of works, but also it kind of doesn't because, like, really nothing changes from the beginning to the end of the movie. They start pretty famous, they end even more famous.
That's right. True.
Yeah. What does...
Right, they don't, like, demolish the system that created this problem where they're surrounded by horrible dudes.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
This is not an important movie, we'll say.
No.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, this movie didn't change the world.
Yeah. It was like,
I know it's
what?
I know it's a very profound...
It was, like, at times really well observed. There were lots of, like, really funny parodic elements where you're like, oh, yeah, that's true. But there's nothing on top of that. There's no, like,
right.
Counterpoint. There's no razor to it.
I mean, there's no really anything that happened. Like, you could watch any 5 minutes of this movie and not
have no idea where it takes place in the story,
right?
Structurally,
because nothing happens, but it's beautiful.
In the few times that like feminism is mentioned, it's almost as a joke,
yes,
or
it is.
As like,
right?
Nothing, you know. No one's like, there's no like feminist agenda that this movie.
But
really
it didn't
has.
Seem like a joke when. You're the appropriate age to be watching it. Like, that's the
exactly.
thing. It's like when
it doesn't feel that way when you're like 12.
Yeah, when it's like, because that's like when they say it, it's totally empty and almost poking fun at like, you know,
at
whatever.
Using feminism as a selling point,
right.
as just a veneer. But yeah, they don't really demolish that in any way. They just
they
use
reinforce
it and point
it.
At it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they're, and, but if you're 11 and you're like, girl power, you're like, yeah, I should be like, these girls who are actively selling me Wonder
right.
Bras.
Right. Girl power to use my credit card at Nordstrom's. Yay.
Yeah. This is, I do love this scene where I think it's Podge is like, is this dress too short? Or should I have this dress or this dress?
The
or
little
this
Gucci dress.
Yeah.
The little right. Gucci dress.
And then,
or the little Gucci dress.
And then baby says, I think you should have the little Gucci dress. And then they're like, yay, baby. Like, you fucking idiot.
Oh, man, that seems so funny, though. That's when they're talking about the horoscopes. And
yeah,
she's like,
that.
You're an Aquarius, so you don't believe in anything. She's like, well, I don't believe that either.
Right.
What you say about Capricorns.
Yeah,
great.
But the two times, there's one scene where... Remember in, like, the photo shoot when they're dressing up as each other?
That was really fun.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
I think it's... Is it Mel B who dresses up as Ginger Spice? And she's like, girl power, feminism, whatever. Because I guess Jerry / Ginger...
Yeah.
Was she, like, quite outspoken about
yeah.
feminism? And I don't remember that about
her. She was
her.
The most outspoken about it. But
in
it was
theory.
Still...
Right.
It was still very surface level.
She's
totally.
Usually the one that says... Girl power.
Right.
Yeah. And then whenever the writers who were trying to pitch movies to Clifford they're like Spice Force 5, where Ginger is like the master of disguise. And so she like runs into this little phone booth and then twirls around, and then Bob Hoskins comes out.
It's amazing.
And then he's like, feminism, equality between the sexes, or whatever. So like both anytime that like I said, like feminism or girl power is mentioned, it's like usually at the butt of a joke like that.
Yeah,
it's it's totally throwaway feminism for the sake of like, this is starting to be marketable.
Yeah. Right.
But not even quite marketable enough to not be endorsing bras constantly. So,
yep.
I will like to draw attention to how many very British sounding names there are in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Peak Alan Cumming plays a character named Piers Cuthbertson Smythe.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's like, Mark McKinney is Graydon.
Graydon. Yes. And Martin Bonfield. And Kevin McMaxford.
It's so great.
This movie is so British.
There's a Barnaby. You can't, it's law. You can't have a British film without a Barnaby.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And then the cameos. We've got Elton John. We've got Elvis Costello. We've got Meatloaf as the bus driver.
We've got
Stephen Fry. We've got Hugh Laurie back when they were still a thing.
Yeah. Jennifer Saunders at peak ABFAB.
Ooh, yeah. It says Jennifer Saunders as fashionable woman. There's so many.
Oh. That would have been like the American series version of ABFAB. It would have just been called Fashionable Women. CBS Mondays.
Well, wasn't there? There's basically a show that's...
Oh, yeah, there was Designing Women.
Designing Women, yeah. I hear that's a good show.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't really seen it since I was a kid. It's like kind of a haze. I just remember... That's Delta Burke, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just started watching
Golden
Girls.
I remember she had like a line of clothing at Kmart, and I thought that was like peak fashion.
I still actively wear a lot of... Like, I got really into the Miley Cyrus Walmart line in high school.
Oh, shit.
Because it was like trendy, but also affordable. And I still have a lot of Miley tanks.
How many pieces do you have?
I have like... From the Miley collection, I'd say I still rotate out 3 or 4 just basic tanks.
Wait, it's like that camis. Whenever Posh.
Camis. What happened to all the camis? Where did they go?
We need a cami cameo. Oh, no. What a horrible joke.
No.
Okay. Remember that scene where Posh is talking to a person who I don't know who it is? And she's like, how do you feel about manta rays? And she I think he's great. I'm wearing it manta ray shoes right now. Some of my other favorite jokes, because I just had to write them down and I must share them with you now.
Yes.
Is Deborah and Clifford are in a bar, and Deborah's like, fame is such a fickle thing. And then she orders a drink from the bartender, and he turns around and it's Elvis Costello.
Yes.
And then she goes, just a minute. Can you make that a double?
Movie is so funny.
It's really funny.
It was nominated for literally every Razzie possible. True. But I don't think that they... Yeah, what movie
it didn't
was,
win for being the worst?
It didn't even win for being Ebert's least favorite. That distinction ended up going to Armageddon.
Oh, that's correct.
That movie does suck, so yeah.
My mom was so horny for that movie.
Yeah.
For sure.
My dad kind of low-key cried. He cried during... Like, there's two movies where I remember as a kid my dad cried. One is Armageddon, and the other is Adam Sandler's Big Daddy the courtroom scene at the end.
That is kind of a sad scene.
Yes.
My mom gave me romantic advice once based off of Adam Sandler's Click.
Oh, no.
For real. I was going through a dark hour of the soul. I forget which one, but it was a couple of years ago. And she was just like, Amy, it's kind of like in... I saw this movie recently called Click. She said it like I didn't know what it was. I saw this movie recently called Click. And there's a part at the end where he's talking to his father and like he wishes that there were so many things that he had said and then he didn't. And then he realized like you can't really go back. You can't really just rewind. I was like, Mom, Thank you so much.
She's so wise.
Oh, there's so not nice. Really a remote control on your life.
That's such a good point, Jamie's mom.
I never thought of that before. I didn't realize.
My mom had a similar epiphany with Queen Latifah's last holiday.
Oh.
She was like, you gotta live in the now. You're so worried all the time, honey.
Oh, is that the one where she thinks she's dying?
Yeah.
She gets like a weird CAT scan or MRI
or
something. Yeah,
and she like travels the world or something. Is Steve Martin in that one?
Bringing Down the House. That's different.
Oh, my God. There's such a weird stretch of Steve Martin movies in the aughts.
Yeah, where Steve Martin's like, I'll be in a movie with anybody.
Like, a bunch of dogs? A bunch of babies? Who cares? Anything. As long as I can bring my banjo on set.
Steve Martin.
He should have been in this movie.
Needs to stop playing the banjo. I'm calling him out. I'm saying,
but he's
Steve,
doing it in a classy way.
Ugh, I'm like so over it. I saw him play the banjo on accident a couple of years ago, and I was just like
live.
Yeah, I was working in radio at the time, and they were like, we have a surprise guest. I'm like, oh, cool. Maybe it'll be someone that I like. And then it was like Steve Martin. I was like, I love Steve Martin's comedy. And then they're like, but tonight he's just playing the banjo. I was like, fuck off. Like, what are you? How dare
you? It's a monkey's paw scenario. They're like, hey, guys, great news. We have Steve Martin.
You know that I'm really good at this. Right. Watch me do something else.
And
I'm like, how dare
you? The producer's like, hold up. His rep says he'll only come if he does the banjo.
He would only
play. They're like, God damn it. We need him.
He'll only play with, I think he released an album with Paul McCartney's ex-wife. Steve Martin, you're on notice.
They were in the Hamptons and the conversation struck up.
You do funny things only. You make me laugh, you little monkey. You don't put down the banjo.
But Jamie,
I don't
want to
read
old.
Your novels. I don't want to read your novels.
I did read Shop Girl, though.
Shop Girl was Shop good. Girl but then he wrote good. That one about the art world that's like sitting on my shelf. I'm never going to read it.
I'm not
going to
read that book.
I'm never going to read An Object of Beauty.
I don't know why I'm so mad at him for doing things that aren't what I want him to do.
No, you've awoken something in me, too. I've been really mad at him for some time, I realized. And I hated this episode of Spice World to talk about.
He had a really good memoir. But even that now, I'm just like, well, then do that. Like,
yeah, Born Standing Up is amazing.
It's a great book, but it's also like, why are you just write a joke, man? Why are you?
Hey, speaking of jokes, can I share a few more of mine from Spice World?
Great set.
Thank you. I love
the banjo.
I like that Roger Moore, every time you see him in a scene, he's holding a different baby animal.
Oh, yeah. That's
true. Animal in general. There's the scene where I think you see the Spice Girls like rehearsing for the concert. It's kind of early on. And someone goes, that was absolutely perfect without it actually being any good. It's an amazing line. I wish I had written that.
That's a great like summation of the Spice Girls.
Yeah,
like,
it's great.
Without being good at all. Clifford at one point says, oh, it's when they want to go and like play around on the boat. And he's like, if they want it to be spontaneous, they need to clear it with me first.
Funny lines.
Funny lines.
It's a good line.
These are great jokes.
And the movie is full of these.
It's a fucking funny movie.
Check it out.
Don't tell me otherwise.
And if you like this movie, or if you don't, I still recommend a similar movie called Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, Josie and the Pussycats is amazing.
It's good, yeah. Ooh, sorry for that voice.
Oh. It's good.
Ooh, Jamie.
It sounded like I took out my cheeseburger. I think you were really talking about the cheeseburger.
Let the listeners.
I have to go overdose in the bathroom. I can't
do this. Jamie anymore. Just pulled a half-eaten cheeseburger out of some foil
from like a full 2.5 hours ago.
Oh man! All right. Well, you're choking on that, I'm gonna say a few other things that I wanted to mention.
Okay.
I liked that none of the drama in this movie derives from issues between the band or like with the girls themselves.
Yeah.
Because like a very common like trope or just an easy direction they could have taken this in is, oh, they're not getting along. They're mad at each other, but they're never like they're always like on the same page. They're always getting along, which, hey, maybe that doesn't make for a great movie with a central conflict. I don't know. But I just like that because often if you have like a group of women, you see them on the screen portrayed as being.
Yeah, they're in competition with each other in some way.
Competing and catty and petty toward each other.
Right. They're so non-competitive to the point where it's just like they're all the same person. Like they're all the same dumb person to the point where it's like, oh yeah, even though these male antagonists are, I mean, that's the only reason they exist. And that's also unfortunately true in real life. Where that guy named Simon, who's not Simon Cowell, but right. knows Simon Cowell, that created the X Factor, like created the Spice Girls and his weird sex lab or whatever. And, you know, and I think it is funny that, like, we are to believe in the mythology of this movie that the Spice Girls have known each other since childhood.
Right.
And they used to hang out in the cafe when they were waiting for a record deal.
Even though they're, like,
different ages and, like, creations of science, basically. Right. Like, did you know the Spice Girls literally had to go to, like, camp to become the Spice Girls? Like,
no.
There was a
a re-education camp.
It was, full brainwash. Like, they're not, I mean, what? Not that dramatic, but they went to fucking camp to become pop stars.
Spice camp!
Which also happens in Korea, and it's really interesting, and there's a really good show about it on Netflix that I'll tell you about.
Oh, yeah, it is really good.
It's really good.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that was like a 90s thing that's like still happening.
It's yeah, like it's still happening in Korea, and it's they rotate them out by year. It's very weird.
Hmm.
But also, like, what an amazing gift.
I agree, Caitlin. I kind of like that they weren't in competition with each other and that there wasn't like every other Muppets movie where they all have to break up and come together. That part's always really sad. I hate when the Muppets break up and have to come back together. It
there
takes
is
forever.
It takes up a lot of the end of the second act.
Yeah.
The Cheetah Girls, too.
Yeah,
not the Cheetah Girls 2, the one where they go to Barcelona. Yeah. The Cheetah Girls as well.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, in this movie, they don't really break up, but they all kind of like go off and separate. But not because they're having like an internal conflict, but because they're at the mercy of other people demanding this, this schedule of them. And they're like, I don't know if I want to do that. All we want is to just be able to respect ourselves and hang out with our friends, especially when they're about to have a baby.
Yeah. I like that they take Nicola, the pregnant friend, to the discotheque.
Right.
And also, I guess it's a gay bar. It's like
there's a lot of drag queens there.
Yeah. And they're just like also just mesh shirts and like go-go stuff.
Can we bring back mesh already?
I fucking love mesh.
We're ready. Like, it's hard to find. Sometimes I've thought like it would be cool to own more mesh.
Let's go to eBay.
Where are we going to find it? Yeah, it's hard.
Get those like laundry bags and just cut some holes.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah. Or just like basketball pennies. I bought a basketball penny once to wear under overalls, which is like maybe the poorest fashion choice I've ever made. But I was like, I'm at Bonnaroo. I'm going to get a mesh shirt and overall jorts.
That is very Bonnaroo. Oh my
there's
God.
Some, yeah, there's some great pictures of me in front of mushroom fountains wearing this brilliant outfit I created at the Walmart across the street from Bonnaroo. Please kill me.
I'd read the novel, The Walmart Across the Street from Bonnaroo.
What is it like working there for 1 week out of the year?
Yeah.
Well,
Spice World. Does anyone have any other thoughts about the movie?
I still love it. That scene where they like flash back to like their early days when Wannabe, they're like singing along to their own song in that cafe. Mm-hmm. I like got legitimately nostalgic about it. I'm kind of misting about it right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, I do have a connection to this movie. It's not just like a weird memory I have.
What was I gonna say about Spice Girls? Oh yeah, they're a product of men.
Yes.
But they pretend to be empowered, and they sort of are, but are they just too stupid? Like, don't...
They're a bunch of real science creations.
They feel like lab experiments.
Maybe women in STEM created them. Who knows?
That would be really
cool. No, but that guy Simon created them.
Yeah, I guess.
This movie is so much fucking fun and could not have existed in this other than this span of 10 days in 1997.
Right.
Would it have made sense? I love that when the bus makes the jump and it clearly just switches to like a miniature toy set of a bus jumping from like it's so
I love those things. I still geek out over like the practical effect gag.
It's like and it's like surprisingly a self-aware movie.
Totally.
It is. Yeah. It is. It realizes there's a problem, but they have no intention to fix it, so here's some goofs.
Right.
And then like, here's like an hour and a half. Of Spice Girls songs. Like, here's a lot of, like, Spice Girls B-side songs. Oh,
and also I wanted to say that there's such a 70s vibe to this whole movie, especially in, like, the opening segment where it's, like, you know, but, and I guess the reason that is, or, like, part of the reason that was sort of amped up in post-production was because this is the same year that Austin Powers came out.
That's right!
Yeah, so the 70s were hot. And so 1987 was a mess.
It was,
like,
real
the 70s
crazy.
Should never be in fashion. It was a gross decade.
I thought that
I was there.
Yeah.
I should know.
First of all, I just want to apologize to our listeners for our bad attempts at British accents. Number one.
Sorry.
Number two. Sorry. Number two. I want to shout out my good friend, British Martha, who I call British Martha to her face.
Sorry, Marsha.
Martha Watley.
Martha. Martha Watley. We're so sorry.
So sorry.
So sorry.
And three.
I think we're good.
Sorry, bruv. I would do like an East Enders accent.
Yeah, you took more like of a street accent.
Yeah. Sporty Spice. She has like a
little oval. Oh, speaking of British, Caitlin Durante, when at a bar, will order a drink as if she were Oliver Twist. The other night, we were at a bar together, and Caitlin said, "Excuse me, could I trouble you for a glass of wine?" And the bartender, or maybe it was water. "Could I trouble you for some water?" It was,
"Please, sir, may I have some water?"
Like she was asking for gruel. It was amazing.
I always do the same thing, though, because these bartenders are super intimidating out here.
I just inhale. I go,
"Well,
and then
can I
they
please,
look at me.
Can I please get..."
I always phrase it like that when I'm asking for water because I'm not giving them any money. I'm probably not even going to tip them for a water.
Right.
Maybe I'm a bad person. I don't know. But I always say, "Can I trouble you for some water?" Because I know it's like an annoying thing and they're not going to make any money off it. If I'm ordering an actual drink, I say, "Please, sir, I want a gin and tonic. You're bloody bleeding.
My father died of consumption. And I've only got 4 pence to..."
"Give me some jammy Dodgers. I want a curly whirly.
All my uncles killed themselves after the business went bust.
There's a rubbish."
"There's a rubbish.
There is a rubbish.
Your cheese bag has gone off and you gotta chuck it in the bin."
That was all wrong. Right. That was bad.
Sorry, Martha. This is what I needed to apologize for. Yes.
Yay.
British Martha, I love you so much. I miss you every day. She's still alive.
I don't know anyone British.
Okay.
A moment of silence.
My British, British people I know are only acquaintances, so I feel weird addressing them.
I understand. We can't all be cool enough to have a British friend.
Like a true friend, not like a Facebook friend. You know.
Man.
Anyway, let's talk about whether or not the movie passes the Bechdel test.
That's a yes.
Guess what? It does.
It like super does. I feel like it's aggressively proving to you that it does at every second without saying it, because I think this predates the Bechdel test by like a couple of years.
I think late 90s. I don't know exactly.
It might be the same.
Yeah, I'm not sure when this.
I want to say it was
like 2000s. Brought to our. Yeah, in most scenes, I would say that at least the girls are in. They are talking to each other about not a man. In fact, there's a scene where Alan Cumming, who is making the documentary about them, is sort of interviewing them, and he's like, "Do you have any time for boys?" And Sporty goes, "Boys, Doesn't ring a bell. And then Scary says, with boys, you should just be able to wheel them in, and then they're there, and that's it. And then Baby says, yeah, and order them like a pizza. And Pasha's like, yeah, I'll have a deep pan, 6 foot, green eye, parallel foot. Like, there's an opportunity for them to be talking about men, and they're just making fun of it. They're like, boys, gross.
And there's no... Yeah. And like, and this sort of factors into like the weird portrayal of motherhood in this movie, where they're so happy for their friend, but then they picture motherhood as being kind of gross and unappealing and like as a robbery of their independence. And I think that that sort of extends to their attitude towards men, of like they view relationships and men as sort of a way of robbing their independence, which is interesting.
Yeah.
For scientific aliens created by a guy named Simon. It's complicated. The Bechdel test was first introduced in 85, but it wasn't like popularly referenced until maybe early 2000s.
Right, interesting. Right. 85. Wow. That was 30 years or more ago.
Yeah. If you haven't read it, Dykes to Watch Out For is a very good comic. Good. And they are collected, and you should read them. But yeah. Oh, my God. It's just like so filtered through the male gaze that there's so many opportunities that they create to talk about it. And instead, it's just like they talk about looks again. You know, they don't really talk about like the system itself. So it's frustrating. It's like, yeah, it's a lot of girls just being girls and there's fluffy fun happening. Yeah. But there's a lot of like real stuff that they could talk about that they're ignoring. So as an adult, it's very unsatisfying.
It's very like watered down, quote unquote, feminism.
Absolutely.
Like the most watered down
could be
very sexy, like and there's that scene where I think it's Posh is like, I had a nightmare that I had a head but there was no makeup on it, and everyone's like, oh yeah. Disgusting. Like, yeah. And that hurt my I like legitimately felt bad when I watched it. I was like, oh no. I should go buy a lip gloss.
Don't fall into their trap. That's what they want you to do.
Here's the thing. I bought a lip gloss.
Oh, God.
No,
damn it,
you bought
Jamie.
A lip gloss. No.
Sorry.
It's okay.
It was a Wet and Wild. It was
body,
only like $1.50.
Oh, that's okay.
It was a Wet and Wild,
not
guys.
Too bad.
False alarm. It was a Wet and Wild.
Hey, that's my nickname for my vagina.
Mine's still the Sandlot. Mine, I was going to say in our Sandlot episode, was the cave from Aladdin.
Oh, that's great. The cave of wonders.
Don't touch anything. It'll collapse. And then you'll be trapped inside and you'll have to wish your way out. That's exactly how it works.
Do you have a genie living in your uterus? Because that one.
Yeah, but it doesn't work for me. It works for whoever's trapped in there.
Right.
But at the end, you have to wish him free.
Yeah.
And then I climax. When you wish the genie free, only then can I come.
It's a true act of altruism.
I gotta write that down before I kill myself.
Oh, man. Aristotle is crying.
We broke him this time.
Oh my God.
Anyway, yeah, the movie passes the Bechdel test again. You know, they're talking to each other oftentimes about fashion or horoscopes or other not important things.
Horoscopes are
there's
important.
No grade level here. It's pass fail because it's like a D, like honestly, but pass fail, so it passes.
Hey, speaking of grades, we rate the movie based on its portrayal of the women in the movie. We have a nipple scale, 0 to 5 nipples.
Mm-hmm.
We can describe those nipples if we so choose.
I'm really thinking about this. I think I'm going to give it like a 2.5 nipples.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
Yeah. For a moment, I thought 3, but that's like a little too high. The movie doesn't make sense. Let's be honest.
Right.
But like what? Okay. So like one of them is like a little baby nipple.
Like really baby
pink.
Spice?
Yeah,
baby's
like
nipple?
It's like a very like, it's like the size of a quarter and it's really pink. And then the other is like a classic nipple, like a little brown, protrudes a little bit. Yeah. And then the half nipple is like one with a really like large areola.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll give it 2.5 as well. I think, yeah, it's I wouldn't even say that this movie's heart is in the right place, because I don't think that it has a heart.
No, it has no heart.
Nor is it in the right place. But I think it made little girls feel good even when they didn't realize it was probably hurting them a little bit.
Right.
So it's a tricky gray area where it's like, I'm never going to discredit, like, go Paula. Like, that's a great phrase.
Right.
But also when you're being peddled merch. Right. The whole time, it's like, well, that said, the movie has been forgotten and doesn't make any sense. So at the end of the day, who am I? I'm just a cyborg created by a man named Simon. So I don't really know what I'm saying at all.
You are but a hologram.
I am a hologram.
You are
created,
but a hologram.
I'm a hologram. Created
Excuse
to
me,
say,
can I trouble you for some... never mind.
Please buy my soundtrack.
Yeah, I'm going to give it, I guess, 2 nipples.
All 2.5 of my nipples are Alan Cumming's.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay, that's good.
You know Alan Cumming has, like...
An extra.
An extra half
in his
nipple.
Pocket. It's in my pocket.
Yeah, I would give it 2 nipples. Although, a thing I wanted to say that I didn't before is that oftentimes in a comedy movie, a lot of the funny lines are being delivered by not women.
Right.
So I like... that the women in this movie have a bunch of funny scenes and lines and jokes.
Excellent
yeah,
point.
I agree.
Even
I
if they didn't write them themselves.
Right.
Who knows who wrote it?
They were trusted to deliver a joke,
the
and that's important.
The movie was
and
written by a woman named Kim Fuller.
And cool. Plus 200 other people.
Right.
Who've received 3 cents in royalties every time the movie airs on Freeform, which is the illegal stream that I found was something that had been aired on Freeform. So shout
Perfect.
Out to my Freeform heads out there. I've never watched Freeform.
Right.
You can take this part out. This is bad. This is bad networking. I'm going to get blackballed in the industry.
I'll sandwiched
edit it.
Between like Ashley and Mary Kate movies.
I don't want to start Freeform beef.
All right,
I can't afford
it.
More beef in my life. Albert Molina has all the beef I need. That's a thick slab of beef. I don't have any more room.
All right, good.
In your locker.
Beef locker.
That's where I keep all my conflicts and also my beefy men. I need to go to bed.
Yeah, two nipples, I'll give it. Again, any mention of like feminism and girl power and stuff like that is very watered down. It's not really substantiated by anything. Even so, it's a fun movie. It, like we said, doesn't make any sense. I don't really mind that.
Right.
Yeah. Even though I do have a master's degree in screenwriting, which I hate to bring up, but it does. it's still a fun watch. I'd recommend it if you just want like some kind of mindless fun. That and again, Josie and the Pussycats. Love that movie.
I have to rewatch that.
Yeah. I like Josie a lot. That's a really good movie.
The nipples belong to that. Oh, that's a good one. Yes, I'm stealing it.
Meat love snips. At the Bechdel Cast rally, this is what we will
Jamie's
chant.
Got her beef. You've got to have your beef,
yeah.
too.
No, girl, no you're going to get your beef. Yeah. You know?
Girl
power.
No one has ever specified whether meatloaf's made of beef or like some other meat.
Oh. Processed.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a combo of, so well, he's like a bunch of old
filler.
Ham sandwiches put in a blender.
Oh man, that is disgusting.
That's a really good album.
It is a good album.
Me and my dad used to listen to it in the car. There's a song about making out at the movies, and then my dad and I would make out in the car.
Bonding.
You
I
and
like
Mike.
It.
I like
me
that,
and Mike's Harder Lemonade.
Oh, I like that Meatloaf in the movie says, "I would do anything for those girls, but I won't do that." Talking about fixing the bathrooms.
I love when Meatloaf sets boundaries. It's so healthy. It's nice.
I did not know that was Meatloaf until I was watching the credits. It's like Meatloaf as Benny, the bus driver or
right.
whatever.
When he's normal looking, you
Meatloaf
can't
Meatloaf is
tell.
Such a talented act. Like, I know that sounds like a hilarious joke, but he's really good in Rocky Horror. He does his best with what he's given in Spice World, and he's really good in Fight Club. Meatloaf is a great actor.
Oh, right.
He's I don't remember him being in it.
He's in the support group. He's like the bigger, he's the beefcake.
Oh my God.
I also.
He brings the beef in Fight Club.
He should have been in The Wrestler. He should have been one of the like down and out wrestlers in that movie.
Yeah. Mickey Rourke didn't deserve a comeback. Give Meatloaf the comeback. Revisionist history.
If he had gotten into The Wrestler, that could have been like a whole resurgence. He wouldn't have to be on The Celebrity Apprentice. It would have been nice.
I need to find him. I could fix him. I could fix me.
All right. Spinoff podcast.
Where's he at? Let me add him. Missing Meatloaf. My new podcast. He's old. Oh, it might be too late to fix him. He's 69.
Oh, shit.
Hey, perfect age.
It's true.
He's way older than I thought. I thought that was like, I was 10 years off.
I know. I was like, he's the horny age, baby.
Hey, Amanda, where can people find you?
Oh, hey.
Online.
Hey, Caitlin. I forgot we were doing a podcast.
I think we all did.
Yeah. Okay, great. I had these totems and everything. I'm looking at these dolls. I'm forgetting where I am.
Leo. Are one of these like your Inception?
Where's your spinning top?
Yeah, this is, I'm spinning my Sporty Spice, still new in box, still in package.
Oh no, is it going to tip over or not?
No.
Dun, dun. And then Juno's in it too.
Yeah. Right. And then black, just credits. We don't see whether it lands or not.
What a film. Just kidding. It's fine.
You can find me on the internet. I'm at Amandonium on Twitter. You can follow my all comedy book publishing company, The Devastator, at Devastator Press.
It's
on
great.
All the social medias. And my book, We Don't Think You're Racist, Soothing Affirmations from People of Color, is available everywhere books are sold. And it's actually turning 1 year old, like this week.
Congratulations.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
My baby, bouncing baby book is 1 year old.
Flies.
I know.
Your book's growing teeth now.
It has little baby teeth.
I'm gonna buy it.
Yay.
It's exciting.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. Cool. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on devastatorpress.com. And you can get it just anywhere books are sold.
Perfect.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Jamie, what do you want to plug? Anything?
I'd like to plug, I'm working on a project right now, and it's like, I still can't really talk about it that much, but it is in relation to Meatloaf's comeback. So
I'm also involved in this.
I can't, we are all very, and like Aristotle's kind of in charge of it, but anyways, you know, as we know, Bad Out of Hell 2, Back to Hell, which is also an album. And also apparently Bad Out of Hell 3, The Monster is Loose. So right now we're working on Bad Out of Hell 4, Back into Hell. We're calling back to Bad Out of Hell 2 because that was our favorite Bad Out of Hell.
What if it's there and back again, a Back to Hell story?
Back to Hell story of the Bat Out of Hell.
Right.
And we're doing it in time for Meatloaf's 70th birthday this year. We're gonna do a rush order, and then I'm gonna write him an indie sleeper that people won't see, but when he dies they'll be like, hey, that was pretty good.
Yeah. I'm producing the motion comic that ties into the movie.
Anyway, if you want to follow me, old Caitlin here.
Old Caitlin.
Old Caitlin here.
You can follow me at Caitlin Durante.
Okay.
hey, also, if you're on the Los Angeles area, you can come to my monthly live show called Luck of the Draw at Nerd Melt. First Friday of the month. Also, we just want to thank you so much for being here. It's been a blast.
Yay.
So much
what
fun.
A fun episode.
I had a lot of fun here, you guys.
This was one of our wilder episodes.
Yeah.
I love when we just get loose and celebrate girl power.
Girl power.
Girl power. Sorry, I messed up the inflection.
We all have done a very bad job doing the British accent.
At the end of this podcast, we're all going to go out and shop for a lip-shaped couch, and we're going to sit on it together and talk about astrology.
I'm going to get a swing to put in my bus.
I love on the doors to their bus, it said max capacity 5 girls.
Oh, I loved that
so
joke.
Great.
Oh my God. It's very. Oh, do you think that Aristotle will get a Presidential Medal of Honor someday for sitting in a room with us for so long?
Yes.
I think he's going to get like a Purple Heart too, just because like
it's
the
like
emotional damage that we're inflicting upon him is.
It's like combat.
It's injuring him.
If not worse.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's been great. It's been a groovy baby. That was Austin Powers.
Same year. Behave.
Until next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye
goodbye.
Now.
Bye.
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 Now.
Bye.
Could I trouble you for some water?